We have a lot to discuss this morning. I'm excited for today's show. We have a lot going on. Ross Tucker will join us in an hour. We have a fun edition of Trainwreck Tuesday, as we always do at 7:45. Rockets won last night. We'll discuss James Harden and his just epic performances coming up in a few minutes. Paul Gallant has experienced yoga for the first time.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. I don't know that I'd necessarily want to do it again because it was extremely difficult. And I think I spent more time either trying to figure out what the hell everyone was doing because there are so many different positions that I did not understand at all. I spent a lot of time trying to actually hear the instructor over the background music where there was someone in the background. It's like,
kind of like that Enya type of music.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it was the random background singer who was just saying a bunch of gibberish was just loud enough where I couldn't hear the very soft-spoken yoga instructor. I spent more time than anything just saying, okay, can we get to the next position? Hopefully it'll be less painful.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't done it since I was a player, which was a long time ago. I'm an old man, and I just remember that. Like, this isn't the spiritual experience I was promised. It's a whole lot of pain and agony. I guess you gotta go through that pain and agony to get to the more elevated side of things.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm gonna have to go to an intro course if I ever want to do it again. I do feel even more guilty that I went to yoga because Syracuse played Duke last night and they beat Duke, and I'm a total fraud because Duke is the number one team in college basketball. Didn't watch the game. All my friends were blowing up my phone as my phone was off in a different room as I was yoga-ing. And
so what was your first reaction when you got to the phone?
My first reaction when I got to the phone was, oh, crap. Because also, I just assumed they were going to get killed. So I figured it wouldn't be a big deal if I missed the game. The best part about the entire yoga experience was observing the person that I went to yoga with.
Yeah.
Every now and then when I actually wasn't in agony and pain trying to hold downward dog or one of those other positions that I don't even remember the names of, the flying turtle or the drunk porpoise, you know, like all those different positions.
The contorted armadillo.
Right, yeah. The murdered cow.
Twisted titmouse.
You say that?
It's a zoological term.
Fair.
The clinical term. The girl that I went with, who this is the polyamorous girl that she's in an open relationship with a boyfriend who apparently she's been seeing for quite some time.
And did he drop her off or something?
No, but apparently he had cooked dinner for her and he had a meal ready for her to go when she got back.
I'm instantly uncomfortable.
Yeah, you feel kind of weird. Yeah,
she talked about him enough where I was just like, okay, this is definitely something else. She is very flexible. I will just say that. And,
in lots of ways.
Yes. Flexible in terms of relationships and flexible in terms of being actually able to do all these yoga things. She is really into pole dancing classes. And it's weird because she's an engineer and you wouldn't think an engineer is into pole dancing.
That's her wild side.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's really into that. She'll go on vacations and like she'll go to Brazil and look for pole dancing classes in Brazil.
Does she go dance at like strip clubs or something?
No. No. She just likes
that kind of exercise.
Yeah. I guess so. And, I will say the best part of yoga was, looking over every now and then again when I wasn't in pain and saying, oh wow,
let me ask you a question. Did you pay for this class?
I did,
this
yes.
place she already existed, or did she already have a membership?
I paid for the class. It was like $20.
So you paid for her class, too?
No, I did not pay for her class.
Because she booked it.
For a minute, I was starting to think, like, wait a second. This would be a pretty good scam she'd had going if she claims she's polyamorous. She's got, like, her deadbeat boyfriend at home who's like, yeah, go out and have this Paul chump go pay for something.
She said it's her third time she's done it. So I was surprised
third
by
time she's done like a
yoga.
Date. Oh, yoga.
Yoga,
oh,
period. Okay. She's trying, I guess, new things. She's like, I'm not sure if I like it, whatever. And I was like, well, you seem to actually have it down pretty pat. And we went to a juice bar afterwards and we started talking. I did not feel like there was a whole lot of vibe there.
No chemistry.
I was trying like as best I could, but amazingly, she seemed to be a little bit more cynical about things than I am.
She's grumpier.
That is impressive.
I don't know if she's grumpier. I just think a lot of things don't necessarily interest her.
Did you ask her about Capella's thumb?
I should have. Not into sports.
She might be like this stereotypical engineering type, though. Like maybe she's just got a real dry sense of humor, or not even a sense of humor, but just a dry personality.
We laughed over a couple things at the end. Like there wasn't a hug at the very end. She kind of went her own way. I kind of got the vibe of okay, I'm not 100% sure that this is going to happen again. Yeah. I sent her a text. I was like, I have no idea how this open relationship thing works, but hey, ball's in your court if you want to hang out again.
Yeah.
So
That's a good place to leave it, I think.
Take it to the next step, which is meeting her family slash boyfriend for dinner.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm still wondering. Yeah. What is the next step here? Do we all sit down together and have dinner? And then you move to the bedroom?
I think you played it well, because I'm getting the sense, Paul, that you're not like necessarily that all in, but you want to leave out the possibility. So you put the ball in her court, which to me, my read on it is you're leaving yourself the possibility on a random Friday or Saturday when she's feeling a certain way that she reaches out.
I hope that's the case. I'm very attracted to her. But as far as everything else, I have no idea what to expect. It was an interesting experience, both the yoga side of things and the, hey, this person's in an open relationship side of things.
If anybody saw Paul out at yoga last night and took a picture, please send it to the text line, 713-572-4610. That's the DWIattorney.com text line, 713-572-4610.
Look at you.
We'll take your texts. I'll feel creepy about it. We'll take them.
Since you guys brought up Duke briefly, and since we will be talking a little bit here about Clint Capela's whatever it is, Duke, did you happen to notice that when Trevor Bauer made some news at the end of last week because he ducked out of a press conference, he was wearing a Duke t-shirt?
I did not notice that.
I felt like Duke, of all places, was probably like, oh, come on. Like, another, you didn't even go to Duke, and now you're giving, like, the douchey Duke behavior that everybody accuses us of, and we're not even associated with you. But I thought it was perfect. Apologies to all my Dukies out there.
I think even Duke in that situation is probably like, Trevor, can we please disassociate from you?
Yeah.
All right, so the Rockets won last night, 112-94, but that's not really the main story. It was really the other things going on. Capela reportedly out 4 to 6 weeks with a thumb injury. He'll get a second opinion today. That's a big deal. They won, which was good, and James Harden continues to play just unbelievable basketball. I mean, he had 36 points at halftime last night. I think they had 52 or 59. I think it was 59. He had 36.
Which is a franchise record for the first half.
Yes. And then last night he finishes with 57 points, which is a season high. Remember, he had 60 against Orlando last year, and he bounces back from that horrible shooting night from three against Orlando, and now he breaks Kobe's record for consecutive games with 30 points in a row. He now has 17 straight games with 30 or more points.
And
I mean, this is an unbelievable level he's at right now.
It's a ridiculous stretch of play. I feel like I'm being way too worrisome about this, negative about this. I don't know. The better he does and the longer he goes is they keep stacking on, like, oh, here's one starter missing. Well, here and then we'll take away an Eric Gordon. You know what? You don't need a Capela. I'm starting to get really, really nervous that this is a team that almost, like, is going to have to peak right now. But then we'll get these guys back as the season goes along. So I guess I shouldn't worry about that because they'll get better. I can't anticipate James Harden keeping up this pace for as long as he has. But here he is still doing it. But 6 weeks without Capela, what the hell happens from here?
Yeah, it's a great question. You just saw on the post-game interview up on ESPN, they're showing the highlights actually of the game right now, where after the game, you see Harden, and Harden is smiling. He doesn't seem gassed.
No.
That to me is the interesting thing to keep an eye on, because at some point he will wear down. You would think, just based off of what we've seen the last couple of seasons, and unfortunately, it keeps on happening in like the second or third round of the playoffs, where you would hope that it just doesn't happen, period. But what they are putting on his shoulders, not of their own fault, I mean, injuries keep happening, I feel like it's ultimately going to do him in at some point. And it is fun to watch this along the way, but how much does it actually matter if it's happening now and a couple of months from now, it's going to end up possibly costing him in a first or a second round series where he just ends up being totally gassed.
But I wonder, I mean, a lot of that ends up being fatigue within the series, I think. Like, do you think when it's been fatigue within the series, I don't think it's necessarily, there was the push for the MVP a couple years back, and how much maybe he was really pushing for that MVP in the race with Russell Westbrook. Did that fatigue him, and did that end up making it harder to make it all the way through the playoffs? Last year it was Chris Paul more than anything that did you in. But you want him fresh as hell going into those series.
Yeah.
I think he will be. It's a matter of I don't want there to be an injury. I don't worry about his fatigue, I guess. I worry that at some point here he's going to get injured because of so much pressure on him physically and mentally.
You know what's weird? I never think he'll get hurt. And we've seen him.
Because he doesn't.
Because he's tough, but he takes his sweet time getting up when he gets hit in the face or hit in the chest. And I remember the first days of seeing this with James Harden where people would say, oh, man, that doesn't look good. Oh, man, that doesn't look good. And now I'm just to the point of, oh, he's fine.
Just shut up.
Yeah, he's going to get up. He is fine. He can shake it off. That's the most impressive part about him is his durability, but his endurance. Like, durability and endurance, I think the endurance side of him is always going to be something that is a weakness. And it's not of his own fault. I mean, I don't blame a guy for going through an 82-game season and then in the playoffs, maybe not 100% having that extra, right. I don't know, 30, well, not 30, but that those extra 20 games or so that's necessary to get to the NBA Finals or to win in the NBA Finals. I feel like he's got... in his gas tank, he's just one of those cars that's like, it's like 11 gallons of gasoline as opposed to 13, right?
Okay.
You know, like he just doesn't have that much in the, he just doesn't have as big of a tank.
Is this as well as a Houston athlete has played in the regular season ever? I know it's kind of a loaded question. You got to go back through the last, 60 years, basically.
I mean, in the time I've been here, yeah.
Well, let's see.
What?
Yeah, JJ, I guess JJ's had, Hakeem. Since we're talking about regular season here, Hakeem, JJ, I mean, Earl Campbell.
I thought about Earl last night.
What were their best regular season stretches? And then the question is, what is that compared to the rest of the league? Because JJ was doing things that really nobody had done in the regular season, in my opinion, defensively since Lawrence Taylor and other guys like that. So that puts it up in the conversation. But now we're in the NBA.
What's the equivalent?
Where you're... Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
What's the football equivalent of this?
He's doing something that nobody else in the NBA is even close to doing now.
I mean, only a few guys are capable of doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even just basically saying, hey, I'm in a situation where I gotta be involved in every possession, take a ton of shots, take a ton of threes. But a lot of guys can't, they can't sustain that.
And it's not even the circumstances, it's the actual production.
Yeah.
But it's just this 40-point triple doubles are no big deal anymore. It's this absurd offensive production. Who was the last player that a Houston team had that was just an undeniable, unstoppable offensive force? I guess perhaps you could go to the run and shoot days, because that was something that took the league by storm. Would you compare the Houston run and shoot offense in total to what James Harden is doing right now?
I gotta think about that. I gotta think about that one. Which is the worst answer?
Well, you're the one that asked me this open-ended question about is it the best thing ever? Yeah,
it's not a bad answer. I just gotta think about it.
He's doing it essentially. I mean, what are we talking about now with Harden? He's 13-5 over this stretch. Where the Rockets are 13-5 over this stretch where he has been playing. Excuse me, 13-5. Wait a second. Let me do my math. Whatever. We're gonna forget the math for just a second. But over the stretch that he's done, it's still a little under a quarter of a season. Going back to 2015 with J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt had a stretch from October 25th of 2015 through. A little bit about a month later where they played the New Orleans Saints to wrap up the month, where if you add up all the sacks that he had over that stretch, he had 9.5 sacks basically in a month. So I suppose that you could say that, and I'm guessing over that stretch as well, J.J. Watt might have been doing some things offensively back in that 2015 season. I think you could take a look at 2014 too, if you really want to go farther back and say that J.J. Watt maybe had some of those same stretches. For James Harden, I guess the other question is, okay, well, is this the best that Harden's been playing? And has he actually elevated his game, like, slightly? Is he taking it about an inch higher than where he normally goes?
Well, you would have to say yes.
Right, yeah, and the step back, partly because of rule changes, but, like, the step back has just become this unstoppable force. And this is, he's unique in that he's now created two entirely new ways of scoring.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, basically.
He went from his absurd ability to draw fouls, which are actually fouls because there's actual contact. So he went from that, which the rest of the league started to copycat, now to this step back, which he's refined and honed so much.
Yep.
And because of the landing area enforcement rule, has just become something that nobody else can do either. So I don't know. I guess my next question would be, what's he going to do next? What comes after this?
I mean,
if they put that 4-point line in, he's going to master that.